Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, being Pentecost Sunday, we're going to focus on that and what that means for us as Christians. And we're going to use the passage from Acts that we just heard from as the basis for the sermon. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In your bulletin is an outline, of the sermon. Take that out. That'll help you track with the points that are so crucial for what we are celebrating today and what this is all about. And so I say grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the title of this sermon is taken from a saying that's gotten kind of popular recently for addressing an everyday situation that maybe seems a little bit sketchy. It's a play on the idea that simple things can happen in our lives, and they do, but it's a way of jokingly saying that there is something more sinister behind all of it than just bad and normal circumstances. And so that phrase, "Not today, ISIS," is a way of saying, hey, you're not going to win this one. So the way we're using that saying now is when the hot water runs out in the shower. You turn to the shower head, "Not today, ISIS." Or when you're right at the traffic intersection and that light goes from yellow to red and you go through it, "Not today, ISIS." As if some organized terrorist group is trying to use the simple things of life to make our lives miserable. And so I was talking about this with one of our members, Josh Woody. He's in the Army National Guard, one of the elders here at the church. He and I have a similar sense of humor. And he was telling me that where he works at the Joint Ops Center for the National Guard, they deal with highly sensitive and classified information. But because they are a public entity, you can find their phone number and call them. Which a lot of people apparently do, according to Josh. Companies like phone telemarketers and student loan companies and debt consolidation companies. And he said when they get on the phone and they don't listen to who they are talking to and they try to explain this and they still try to put the hard sell on them, that's what these guys say to them. "Not today, ISIS," and then they hang up the phone on them. But he unpacked the whole concept behind this even further because the truth of the matter, where he works, they have to deal with a whole bunch of things that aren't as trivial as hot water running out or as making a traffic light or what I think is so poetic here, the misprint and the typo that is in the title of this sermon. ISIS should be all capital letters, okay? This isn't "Not today, ISIS," as addressing an Egyptian sun goddess, okay? So this is one of those things, though, that they deal with at the ops center is real stuff, real threats, because they are actually aware of how much ISIS really tries to pull off on us, the people of the United States. But he says the vast majority of the time, they fail. They fail at their goals. They get stopped by a superior and more powerful force. And I love that concept. He says we can breathe easy because we know who we work for. We can even be confident to the point of joking because we know our enemy, even though he might get a lick in here or there, the enemy is not going to win the day. And I love that sentiment. I think, man, that'd be a pretty good way to live, wouldn't it? Knowing that while you're going to face struggles and challenges in this life, at the end of the day, wouldn't it be nice to live confidently knowing that we can have peace because the enemy doesn't win the day. The enemy doesn't get the last word in our lives. Well, that's exactly how we are called to live as Christians. That is what God Almighty wants us to do as His people. And we are united with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who stepped onto the battlefield of life in this sinful world and wiped out every enemy so that you and I can live in a new and powerful way. Now, is that because this Jesus guy did some cool things a long time ago and we just read about him and go, wow, that guy was pretty cool? No. We can live in a new way because of Pentecost. See, what happened to the world after Pentecost now doesn't put Jesus as some historical figure. It's now something, everything that he has done is something that we take part in on a daily basis through faith. And that's what's so special about this day. We were made into a new people. We were made into the church of Jesus Christ, and we have been given a power that is as great as the Son of God, because that's exactly who we are connected to, and that is huge. And it's important that we understand this and celebrate and live in this so that we can live the way that our God wants us to live in this world. And so that's what today is all about, this special day in the church year where we realize the Holy Spirit came into the world in a new and powerful way that gives you and me a new power and a new identity. So let's get down to this. Your first blank in the outline. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity, which means he is God. Right away, that puts him into rare air, and we have to recognize that. Christ tells us that when we baptize, we are to do so in the name of God, right? What is the full unpacked name of God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there at the creation of the world. He helped the Father and the Son. And I think that too often we believe that he is just expendable. That is not the case, because he is only as expendable as the Father and the Son. In other words, not at all. So he is God. Not God the Father, not God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? Next blank. He enables us to believe in Jesus Christ and helps us to lead a holy life. 1 Corinthians 12 says, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the power of the Spirit. And see, what Paul is talking about is that no one can believe without the power of the Spirit, and belief in Christ is what saves us. So we have to differentiate this here, because the Bible does. Belief in Jesus Christ is not the same thing as head knowledge, okay? These are your next blanks. Many people know about Jesus. They know about God. In fact, James says the devils know about God. But there's more to saving faith than that. The Holy Spirit brings us to Christ so that we might believe in him and be saved. And that's one of the things that we kind of have a hard time digesting. But without the Spirit, Jesus is really just a guy we read about in an old book. But with the Holy Spirit at play, now everything is alive and it is living. And when we believe in him, we are connected in a way that means something great for everybody who will do just that. So because of the work of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, Jesus is all over the place. And now all of the accomplishments of Christ are yours. And this is exactly what Jesus said had to happen. He says this in our gospel for today. He said we needed him to ascend, leave us, and ascend into heaven so that he could carry out the next phase of the plan of salvation. And what was that? Sending the Spirit. So the Spirit could take his work to the ends of the earth. That's how the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension get from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago to Springfield, Illinois in 2018. And I love what Luther wrote about this. This quote is included in your bulletin. He said, it's not enough simply the word of God be taught and preached. The word must be believed. Therefore, God sends the Holy Spirit to impress the word upon the heart, to make it live therein. Unquestionably, Christ accomplished all, took away our sins, and overcame every obstacle, enabling us to become, through him, rulers in heaven. This is a treasure, but the treasure lies in a heap. It is not everywhere distributed and applied. We have to have the Holy Spirit come and communicate it to the heart, enabling us to believe and say, I will have some of that blessing. So Pentecost took Jesus Christ and put him into your hearts. That's how close we are to Christ now. He's in us, we are in him. You don't get much closer than that. I love what Sir Isaac Newton said about this one time. He said he could take a telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. But he said, you know, when I lay it aside, the telescope, and I go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in prayer, I see more of heaven and am closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. That's the work of the Spirit. So your next blank, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, Jesus is everywhere, and we have a new access to him. Anybody pay attention to what happened yesterday on some island the size of Wyoming, east of the United States, across a body of water called the Atlantic? Yeah, royal weddings are a big deal, are they not? And we like to pay attention to those things and watch what happens. And I think a lot of it has to do with one psychologist in the New York Times put it, it's a huge form of escapism for us, isn't it? We can look at these guys and go, yeah, this is really cool. We live vicariously through them. They live a completely different life than you and I live. And so we like to get a glimpse into the lives of royalty and see what that's all about and imagine, wow, what would it be to live like that? That's what Pentecost is. Except in a way bigger way, this is taking place. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords sent his helper to you directly to invite you to take part in his life and everything he is and has. Not from afar, but to live it with him. You are literally united with Jesus Christ. And so next blank, when you believe in Jesus Christ, his victories are yours. Now you understand what it's like to live as royalty because you are united to him. And through him, you have defeated sin. You have defeated death. You have defeated the enemy. And he is making you with him ruler over all things. You are kings and queens because of Christ. And that unification with Christ gives us power to live a new life. It's a boldness that we are called to live in now, and not today ISIS confidence for real to live in. One that doesn't have to be timid or fearful or uncertain. And so your next blank, Pentecost also gave the followers of Jesus power to be confident in their faith. How is that? Well, it's because Christ, the same Christ who destroyed death and the devil, lived in their hearts, that the disciples could go out into the world in a new and powerful way, and look at what happened to them. After Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Spirit, a coward like Peter, who a few weeks earlier denied Jesus Christ because a housemaid got all up in his grill and threatened him, now he goes in front of all of the Roman rulers and the chief priests and just boldly proclaims what he believes, and consequences be damned. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. And what Peter did, the other disciples did also. They acted as if there was nobody they should be scared of. In fact, they were excited about the reality of being persecuted for their faith, for following Christ. Where did they get this intestinal fortitude from? From the power of the Spirit. I love this quote from one of the early church fathers in the 3rd century. He said, "This event turned plain, uneducated men into philosophers. The writers of Scripture make it clear that they were fearful, timid men. When Christ was arrested, they ran despite all of the miracles they had seen and denied knowing him. How do you account for the fact that these men who in Christ's lifetime did not stand up to the attacks from the world set out to take on the world once he was gone?" See, that's the power the Spirit gives us. That's the power he wants us to live in. And when you are connected to the Spirit, you're connected to the Son of God. When you're connected to the Son of God, you are connected to God the Father. And if God the Father is on your side, who can be against you? And this is what our God wants us to know and live in on a daily basis, because here's the reality. He knows how bad the world we live in is. He knows it better than we do. Because while we know how this all ends, we do face uncertainties on a daily basis, don't we? What's going to happen at my job? Are my kids going to be all right? What is going to happen when I go to the doctor for that follow-up exam? In the recording, did it say Yanni or Laurel? Which is it? There are all kinds of certainties in this world, are there not? But we know how our story ends, and because of that, that means all of the daily uncertainties now just become this inconvenience. The whole thing is taken care of for all eternity. That is our new identity that we live in, and that's the miracle of Pentecost. We have eternal joy and assured happiness. And so this day, when the Church of Christ became one of the most powerful forces on earth, it's time for us to realize that the gates of hell cannot overcome us. It's when the blind were able to see God in a new way. It's when simple fishermen were turned into a world-changing army. And that same spirit that they were given that day is the same spirit that you were given in baptism. It's the same spirit that is always there and is connected whenever the Word of God is read or taught or spoken. And so that's my prayer, that we would take this gift from God, receive it, and use it in all of its fullness, that we might live the peaceful, assured, and bold lives that our God calls us to live. I've mentioned this before in teaching and preaching here, but all this talk about the volcanic activity in Hawaii always reminds me of one of the most significant days of my life. Almost to the day today, 38 years ago, May 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington State. And I remember being outside on that day playing basketball when the skies just got as dark as it were night and ash started falling out of the sky. Now, we lived over 300 miles from the blast, so you can get an idea of what was going on there. And that's why people take note when these things explode, is because the power that is involved in it and the damage that they can do. What happened to Mount St. Helens that day, a 5.1 magnitude earthquake triggered an explosion within the mountain, and it created an avalanche that is the largest ever recorded. That's exactly how we felt, Letty. Man, oh, we were screaming and crying that day. The blast flattened everything within a 230-square-foot-mile radius. The explosion of pumice and ash shot out northward at 300 miles an hour at a temperature of 660 degrees. You do the math there. When 660 degrees is introduced to a glacier, you have instant rivers and flooding and destruction. 57 people died. Safe estimates had over 7,000 large animals dying. 11 million fish died in that. The thick forests that surrounded the mountain were wiped out, flattening enough trees to build 300,000 two-bedroom homes. It left a crater in the mountain 1.5 miles wide and 1/2 mile deep. All in all, it took the energy level of 27,000 Hiroshima-sized atomic bombs to cause this devastation. That is some power. But as powerful as all of that was, it is nothing compared to the power that was given on Pentecost. The gift of faith and belief in the Son of God connects us to the one who is so powerful that he holds the world with Mount St. Helens, with Hawaii, with Great Britain, the whole planet. He holds that world and the universe in his hands. We are united to that power. No, and if that's the case, what do we have to fear in this life? God has overcome it all, and through him so have we. That's what we were blessed with, and God wants those of us who have been changed by this power to take that power out into the world. So your next blanks. The gift of Pentecost brings salvation to the world. It also brings the privilege of responsibility with it. The miracle of Pentecost is our new identity that we are blessed to live in, and it calls us to take the power of this miracle to the ends of the earth. See, God wants the world to live in the not today, Satan, peace that we are actually called to live in. And by taking this message out to others, that's exactly what we do. And that's all we're called to do, because you know who does the heavy lifting here after we take the message there? The same Spirit that converted us. And so that's what God thinks of you and me. He wants to use you and me as eternal agents of change for his kingdom and to bless others. So God bless us to live in the peace and the power of the Spirit. God bless us to boldly take the great news of salvation to the world. And God bless us to constantly live in and celebrate the Pentecost miracle and the gifts that he has given us. And your last blank is a praise, and it's praise God for sending the Spirit. Amen. Would you please rise?